Thank you for the privilege of being with you this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 7. The scripture reading came from John 7. And the text is John 7, 37 through 39, just those three verses. I have the New American Standard Bible, so it's maybe a little bit different than what you have, but you can follow along. Hear God's Word. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace that you give us. By means of your word, applying it to our hearts with the power of your Spirit. And we pray together, even now, that you would work by your Spirit and impress your truth on our hearts. Grant us this grace in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Take a deep breath. Oh, come on now. Take a deep breath. Do you feel that air going into your lungs? All right, you can exhale. It's okay. And you feel that air coming out of your lungs. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is closer to you than the air you are breathing. We fail to recognize that this is the case. You and I fail to recognize how close Christ really is. How close he is in his providential dealings with us. How close he is by the work of his Spirit in us. How close he is in his word speaking to us. The children of Israel long ago had the same difficulty. Shortly after they were delivered from Egypt, they cried out, "Is the Lord really with us?" And of course he was. He was following them day by day through the wilderness. And surely Jesus Christ is following each of you and following you as a congregation day by day in the wilderness of this life. You and I need to recognize this is the case, and you and I need to follow Christ who is following us. And that's the point I want you to get this morning. Follow Christ following you. And of course, you need to recognize the fact that he is following you if you are going to follow him. This, I think, is the burden of the text before us in John chapter 7, verses 37 and following. You'll notice that Jesus is in the midst of or on the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. This is what verse 37 tells us. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast. Of course, the Feast of Tabernacles involved the people building little shelters with palm branches usually. And they would sleep and eat in those shelters to commemorate their journey in the wilderness for 40 years. And the feast was appointed by God. If you have your Bible there, I'd like you to turn back in your Bible. I'm going to have you, those of you that have your Bible, look at several texts this morning. In Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23 records for us the various feasts and convocations that the Israelites were to involve themselves in. And in Leviticus 23, verse 33, it reads, "Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of the seventh month is the Feast of Booths, for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. On the 15th of the 15th day of the seventh month, the Feast of Booths began, and it lasted for 7 days. And then a special day arose on the eighth day." Now, I want you to think about this. The first 7 days of the month, according to the Jewish calendar, would end on Saturday, the Sabbath. The 14th day, then, would be the Jewish Sabbath, what we call Saturday. And the 15th day would be the first day of the week, what we call Sunday. Jesus Christ here is particularly connecting himself with the first day of the week, the eighth day, as it's called in Leviticus chapter 23. Go back now, if you would, to John chapter 7. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out." You see, it was on that eighth day, the first day of the week, that Jesus goes to the temple for this particular reason, to cry out to the people. Now, we might wonder about the text and whether or not it actually applies to you and to me. Well, let's begin some application right here. The people of Israel were to celebrate the Feast of Booths, as I've said already, to commemorate their wilderness wanderings, to commemorate the time between their deliverance and salvation in Egypt and their occupying the promised land and entering their rest. We too, friends, you and I are in between the time of our salvation and the time when we, as God's people, will enter our rest in heaven. And these days in which we are in the world amount to your wilderness wanderings. And I dare say that you and I often speak of life in this world as a wilderness, and we await heaven which is to come. And so we ought to take heed to this particular text. Now notice what Jesus does. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Jesus, on the last great day of this feast, speaks about water. Now the connection here is simple, actually. There was a tradition among the Jews at that time that the priests would go to the southern area in the city of Jerusalem with a golden pitcher and fill that pitcher with water at the pool of Siloam. And they would carry the pitcher of water with some celebration and singing from the pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount and into the temple. And they would pour the water at the foot of the altar of burnt offering. This was in commemoration of the fact that God gave water to the people in the wilderness. And you recall the stories, do you not? How God gave water out of a rock. I'd like you to go back into the book of Exodus, those of you who have your Bibles, to Exodus chapter 17 and verses 6 and 7. In Exodus 17, the people have come out of Egypt, but they are not yet at Mount Sinai. They don't come to Mount Sinai until chapter 19 in the book of Exodus. And so they're right at the beginning of their wilderness wandering. And they grumble before the Lord. And they're thirsty. And so God says in verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Imagine this, people. God delivered Israel out of Egypt through a series of miraculous plagues. God brought the people to the edge of the Red Sea, directing them with a pillar of fire. He protected them from the Egyptian army at the edge of the Red Sea with that pillar of fire. And he took them through the Red Sea as if on dry land. And he brought them to the other side. And now they're asking, "Is the Lord with us?" Yes, it makes you smile, doesn't it? But how often, friends, have you and I, having been the recipients of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, come to circumstances in our lives, in your life and in my life, where you've asked or I have asked, "Is the Lord really with us?" You see, we too may fall prey to the same sins as the people of Israel. This is the beginning of the wilderness wandering. Now, if you do have your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 20. Not meant to be sword drill. Numbers chapter 20. The first verse of Numbers 20 reads, "Then the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there." At the end of chapter 20, it says, "When all the congregation saw that Aaron had died, all the house of Israel wept. for Aaron, 30 days. Now the people are at the end of their wilderness wandering. And their disposition has not changed much. And for a second time, God brings water from the rock. Verse 11. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice. He was supposed to speak to the rock, not strike it. But exasperated because of the anger and the lack of patience among the people, he strikes the rock. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregations and their beasts drank. At the beginning of the wilderness wandering, water from the rock. At the end of the wilderness wandering, water from the rock. Was God with the people? Yes. From beginning to end, God was with the people. Friends, is it not true that with each one of you, from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, God is with you? Is this not the case? The difficulty we have is seeing God at work, perceiving His activities. Back now to John chapter 7. Now the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus Christ, in a very specific way, is connecting himself with the rock that brought forth water. And he is saying, "I am the rock. I am the rock that was with the people in the wilderness so long ago. I am the one who dispenses the water." Jesus had done this sort of thing already. He had said to the people, "I am the bread of life." God gave manna in the wilderness to sustain the people. Now you must look at me and come to me. I am the bread of life. And so Jesus is now saying to the people of old, and he's saying to you and to me, "Come to me. I am the rock from which the water comes, the water of life. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." And of course, friends, this is a message for you and for me. You and I must come to Christ if there is a thirst in your soul. It is only Jesus Christ who is able to quench that thirst. Nothing else will. I want you to look at one other text with me. 1 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul confirms this interpretation for us. 1 Corinthians 10. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The ancient people were united to Moses. In the same way, you and I are united to Jesus Christ in the new era. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, the manna that came from heaven. And who is ultimately that manna? None other than Jesus Christ. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Paul affirms here, from beginning to end in the wilderness journey, Jesus Christ was with the people, and He provided for them. Note verse 6 in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Now these things happened as examples for us. All of this was an example for you and for me. You and I are in our wilderness journey. You and I are in that journey. And Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me, come to me. If anyone thirsts, as you are in the midst of that journey, if anyone thirsts, come to me. That's the message. And isn't it interesting then that Jesus Christ relates what He is saying to the Holy Spirit? I say Jesus Christ makes this connection because the Apostle John makes this kind of comment in our text. Look at verse 39 in John 7. But this He spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. You see, the text now is making the connection between the water, come to me, everyone who thirsts, and drink. The text is making the connection between water and the Spirit. Well, we regularly make this connection, don't we? We make this connection in baptism. That baptism signifies washing and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Spirit. And Jesus is saying to you and me, drink deeply of the Spirit of God. And the text says that these words are about those whom will believe and will receive the Spirit, because the Spirit was not yet given as it was given in the Old Testament era. The text is talking about Pentecost. The text is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost upon all flesh, upon every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And the text is talking about you and me, people who believe and receive the Spirit. This is a text about you, you see. You believe in Jesus, do you not? Hopefully this is the case. You trust Jesus Christ. You've received the Holy Spirit. This is a text about you. Verse 39 again. But this He spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus would yet go to the cross to bear the sins of His people, to suffer the awful curse and wrath of God for sin. Jesus would yet enter the grave. Jesus would yet rise again from the dead. And He would ascend into heaven and take His place at the right hand of God the Father. And having received the gift of the Holy Spirit from His Father, He would pour that Holy Spirit out upon the likes of you and me. We are the recipients of the Holy Spirit, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. But this He spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. And Jesus says to you and to me, friends, drink deeply of Me. Drink deeply of the Holy Spirit. And you will become originators of life for others. Think about this. Look at verse 38 now. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Drink deeply of Jesus Christ, friends. Drink deeply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Christ is saying, drink deeply so